Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Oh, I hope they don't kick me off the roster at GCN. The mess those turkeys are making. Ooh, I have to pay someone to clean that up. Anyway, once again, seriously, this is a week where you start to think about what you're grateful for. You celebrate Thanksgiving normally with people that you love, that are close to you, that are far away. You hop on planes, trains, and automobiles, as the movie once said, to get close to those people. But the downside of it is that this still is the worst time ever for that, because we're seeing the soaring rates of those who are testing positive for COVID-19 and the deaths, too, as a result of it. Boy, and I'm the last person who wants to be the bearer of that bad news. The good news is there's definitely help on the horizon. We know that, thanks to Warp Speed, Pfizer, Moderna, others. But, you know, you've got a lot of people who want to be able to celebrate, who want to express themselves, to celebrate our freedoms that we have in America, and it's really tough. And I think there are more super spreader events than one would know. In California, they tried to throw out a curfew, but hundreds of protesters defied the whole new curfew thing on Saturday night. They gathered in Huntington Beach, even though there was a mandate to stay home from 10 to 5 a.m., some had large American flags. They crossed the Pacific Coast Highway on foot, blaring car horns and whatnot. And to give you some perspective, Huntington Beach is a beautiful place. It's about 35 miles south of Los Angeles, a very, very big, I'll call it beach town. It is like a beach town. Also, you have Senator Kelly Loeffler, Republican from Georgia, who is going to be in the runoff election in January. She tested positive for COVID. She was campaigning with Vice President Mike Pence and Senator David Perdue in the last couple of days. January 5th, of course, is the runoff for the seat. And so much Republican money and so much Democratic money is flying into Georgia that I can't imagine every 1 second they're not getting hit with ads for what's happening with the runoff. So, yes, they're out there campaigning, the Republicans and the Democrats. So that was bad news there. But she did come up with another test that was negative, because, you know, they keep testing you after that. But she is quarantining for now. There are all kinds of different restrictions, depending on the state, depending on the severity of the cases. The U.S. has more than 12.2 million cases, more than 256,000 deaths. This is all from Johns Hopkins University. So globally, 58.5 million cases, almost 1.4 million deaths. Now, Americans dying from the virus each day over the past week is 1,400 and change, a 50% rise from just 2 weeks ago. So, look, we know this. We know this is what's happening. It's hard economically. It's crushing us. It's crushing people's spirits, if we can just get through this, right? Moderna is close to bringing its vaccine to the FDA, and several other candidates are progressing through that pipeline. You know, Pfizer's vaccine becoming available, all of that's going to start to happen. For herd immunity to become effective, from what I know, 70% of the nation, so 70% of about 230 million people would need to be vaccinated. Then we would have that. And I think we will have that. So, yay, Operation Warp Speed, the Trump administration's public/private partnership to accelerate the development, manufacturing, and distribution of COVID-19 vaccines and treatments. And the people that will step up first are going to be the healthcare workers and the highly vulnerable people. But each state is going to probably decide who they're going to vaccinate. So on the 11th or 12th of December, the belief is the first people will start to be immunized, which is great news. But we are still now here during the holiday, and Thanksgiving is a big one, stuck with not that happening, and lots and lots of people who have plans to go and visit. CDC said, please, please just stay at home so you can celebrate next time around. But it's not looking that way. 1 million Americans traveled by plane in one day already, despite the CDC COVID-19 guidelines. So the worry is we're going to see more deaths, hospitalizations, and super spreader events because it is still this elusive thing that you wrap your mind around it, you think you're fine, and then you have it. And some people are asymptomatic, some don't get it quite as hard. It doesn't run through their system the way it does in others. And, of course, that's why the underlying conditions, you can be a goner. If diabetes 2, you know, name whatever it is. And that's why we're seeing that with older people, you know, too, as well, that are part of that. In the meantime, while all of that is going on, there was a horrific mall shooting. Normally when I say that, I'd be giving you some horrible statistic about people who have died. The good news is that nobody died in the mall shooting. Police did arrest a 15-year-old suspect in connection with that shooting on Friday that left 8 people injured, though. It was weird. There was this kind of scuffle in the mall. It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then shots were fired and were ricocheting off of things. So the suspect went out of the mall along with other people as they were screaming and running for the exits, and it took the tactical teams that descended on the mall, which is a million square miles, basically. They descended on the mall and really did a great job of square feet, by the way. They descended on the mall, and they really secured the mall, and that's what you have to do because you don't know what's going on inside. And it was, I guess, an altercation between a couple of groups, 2 groups, and 4 of the victims, though, were innocent bystanders. Boy, that is terrible timing, isn't it? But again, normally when that would leave my lips, I would be saying something terrible afterwards. How many people died, how senseless, whatever. But that didn't happen. But again, it shows you, here we are in the pandemic and the vulnerability. And I think some of what we're seeing, too, is there is this kind of aggressive thread that seems to be running around. It's the tension, it's the stress. Even with younger, it doesn't matter. Whether it's teenagers or people that are older, it's living in this isolation that's causing, I think, some of this angst and whatnot to pour over into other areas. Now, in this case, I'm not going to say that about the teenager having a gun and whatever happened there. But thank goodness people weren't killed. Numbers we can count next.
It's not over. Sadly, our nation is going through tough times again, with no end in sight. And nobody knows what might happen next year. That's why it's a good idea to plan ahead, so you aren't caught off guard. Nothing's more important than having enough food to eat, and we're here to help. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leading emergency preparedness company. We provide long-term emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage. When grocery stores run empty or disasters strike, our foods will be there when you need it most. Act now and secure at least a 4-week emergency food kit full of tasty meals that provide 2,000 calories a day. We have dozens of emergency food storage kits to choose from. When the government tells you not to go out, you can have the peace of mind that comes from being prepared. When you order from MyPatriotSupply.com, your food will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in no time. Prepare today. Time is short. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay Heating Wraps and Pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
This report is sponsored by Bank of America. 9 in 10 homebuyers are motivated to purchase their first home, while 4 in 5 say saving for a home is a priority, according to new homebuyer insights from Bank of America. This motivation is encouraging because homeownership can help families create a legacy and build long-term wealth, making it easier to achieve their life goals. However, many would-be buyers say that expensive home prices, high rent costs, and student loans impact their ability to save. A.J. Barkley, Senior Vice President, Neighborhood Lending at Bank of America.
We understand that becoming a homeowner can be as challenging as it is exciting. While many prospective homebuyers can afford monthly mortgage payments, saving for the upfront costs may make homeownership seem out of reach. We have low down payment mortgages as well as down payment grants and closing cost grants, which are helping eligible homebuyers break down these barriers so they can afford a home of their very own.
To learn more, visit www.bankofamerica.com/homeowner.
For numbers, kind of all over the map, I thought I would bop a few different directions. Kate Delaney, happy Thanksgiving week to all of you, and I hope you celebrate it happily wherever nook, cranny, or canyon you happen to live in. So thousands of people marched in Taipei on Sunday, demanding the reversal of a decision to allow U.S. pork imports into Taiwan, alleging food safety measures. The reason I'm even bringing this up is because I saw this giant pig and thousands of people. I mean, people were furious. They are upset with the president there in lifting a long-standing ban on U.S. pork and beef imports in August. They think it's one of the first steps toward possibly negotiating a bilateral trade agreement with the U.S., and the ban is due to be lifted in January, but there was fierce opposition to that because it allows imports of pork with certain residues of a drug added into animal feed that promotes the growth of lean meat that some farmers use in pigs. So that drug, who knew, is banned by the European Union, but it's legal in the United States. So there were a lot of demonstrators who are not happy with that idea. I just saw this giant pig and I thought, what is that about? All right, so we go from pork to burgers. In-N-Out in 14 hours. In-N-Out is a California phenomenon, but that now has spread to other states. I lived in California, and when I got there, people would say to me, and I didn't know what it was, it shows you how big it was, just like the cola thing, how big burgers were. In-N-Out or Carl's Jr.? Like, I had to pick what team I was on. See, we're always on teams. So I said, I don't know. I haven't tried either of them. So that was mandatory. I had to try them. So In-N-Out Burger opened up its first two Colorado locations on Friday morning. People flocked to that restaurant in Aurora and Colorado Springs. Long lines. So they had traffic delays in the city. Police were telling people to stay away from the area because it was that jammed. By Friday afternoon, the wait time, I'm not kidding you. I want to tell you this. The wait time, according to some reports locally, you know, where they were on, they were doing news reports about it, 14 hours. Would you wait in, I'm just saying, would you wait in line for 14 hours to get a popular burger? And then fights broke out. There, I mean, people were getting upset because of the traffic jams. And, you know, one guy saw just bowled over. He looked like a kind of like a marshmallow. He was just dressed in a sweatsuit, and the arms were flailing and bodies were on the ground. Like, oh, that's not good. You got to be kidding me. And waiting for 14 hours, that's ridiculous. Because what, they want to be the first person in line? So, you know, the people waited, I guess, starting at 8:15 in the morning, hours before the restaurant opened. And that's why you start to get those long lines, I guess. Here's the suggestion, right? So In-N-Out comes, it wasn't there before. You can't wait for a couple of weeks and go on an off time so you don't have to be involved in the mania. I mean, I'm just saying out loud, wouldn't it be easier for those two locations to just wait? I mean, for the other people, they want to open their doors, of course. Really? Crazy. All right, speaking of just, I don't even know what I would call this, right? I'm gonna go here though. I'm gonna talk about this. The Pentagon is struggling to contain outbreaks aboard a Navy ship. 1,300 new daily cases on 1 week. So the Defense Department, trying to contain the spread of the coronavirus among its people, they're grappling with the surge. I said this, we've had more than a million cases over the last 7 days. And so they want tougher restrictions on thousands of personnel that work in the Pentagon, but that's very tough to do. 1,300 new cases. And the big concern is Thanksgiving. Military personnel are going to gather with family in enclosed spaces. I can't, they've been on ships, they've been gone, I can't imagine, right? So the Pentagon is moving to a higher health protection level on November 26th, cutting maximum occupancy to 40%, woo, and increasing the number of temperature checks on workers entering the building. Because of the increase, they can't take the risk, because who knows who would get infected coming into the building. There are a lot of people that could find themselves just like that. Boom. Now, 300 sailors stationed on the guided missile destroyer, the USS Michael Murphy, tested positive for the virus. The positivity rate, though, among the armed forces is 6.8% lower than the national average. But it just shows you it's continuing to grow along with the numbers in the United States. So more than 73,000 coronavirus cases have been confirmed among members of the military. Tens of thousands more have been recorded among Department of Defense, family members, contractors, civilian personnel. They've got good numbers normally, so they're just going to try to do whatever they can. I think it's smart cutting the amount of people at the Pentagon and doing those temperature checks, because that's the way to do what you can to try and prevent that. Now, don't laugh, because you could think I'm playing with puns here. Would you be shocked to know there are giant rats in New York? Well, it's not the rats you're thinking of. Giant New York rats just overtook Central Park. And so when I say giant rats, I looked at some of the pictures of the rats. They are, no kidding, as big as rabbits, big rabbits, roaming the streets in broad daylight. They're nesting in trees, chewing through car engine wires that can cost thousands to fix because there are so many that are, you know, hotline complaints are coming out that have just gone through the roof. Because what's happening that's different with this pandemic and what would normally happen with the rats? There was a guy on a bench swatting them away with a rake, trying, you know, to figure out what can we do, right? Why is this happening? Well, outdoor dining, more homeless, the street cleaning, trash isn't being picked up as much as it was before. Think of the workers, etc. They had less workers. Cans on sidewalk corners and stacks of bags by the supers being hauled out, so it's not as clean. Normally, you would really have residents and businesses working together. So, wow. Hello, I've just seen one of the 15,000 rats people are describing. It's about the size of a dog. Yeah. Eating through the wires of the cars. Ooh. And looking for warmth. That's something that rats will do. I saw that with an air conditioning unit that I had that was a big one that was outside. They come in. What's going on with the air conditioning? Rats. Rats. What rats? It doesn't take much. A rat looking for food, a warm place, whatever. But certainly I have never seen a rat as big as a decent-sized rabbit. Ooh. Wow. So, is New York one of the rattiest cities? That's what you have to ask yourself. And while they are the punchline in many jokes, I can't imagine that feeling of going down the street and looking over and seeing a rat that you could almost pet. Oh no. No, that's a rat. I can't pet that. Oh, wow. All right, so let's finish with this one. The lockdowns that are so tough for the United States are tough for so many other places, too. This is ski season in Switzerland. The Matterhorn, of course, draws skiers and snowboarders from all over the world, including locally. And they have the most, what they call, modest coronavirus restrictions. And they have almost near normal operations. They're just crossing their fingers. France, Italy, Austria, and Germany have all ordered even the high altitude lifts that could be running this early in the winter to remain closed for now. But at the Matterhorn, they're not doing that. Now, there's a hot spot in Switzerland, 5,000 infections a day. We'll keep an eye on that one. Stay with us.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The first shipment of coronavirus vaccines could be coming by the middle of December. Pfizer applied Friday for an emergency use approval from the FDA for their vaccine. When it receives that approval, the shots could quickly be in the hands of states' health departments. Dr. Monsef Slaoui says vaccines could be on their way to states 24 hours after an approval is granted. The chief advisor for Operation Warp Speed tells NBC's Meet the Press that it will then be up to the states to decide who would be the first to be vaccinated.
Within 24 hours from the approval, the vaccine will be moving and located in the areas where each state will have told us where they want the vaccine doses. And then it is each state that will decide specifically, based on the guidance from the ACIP and CDC, who they will vaccinate.
Coronavirus cases in the U.S. surpassed 12 million last week. This is USA Radio News. Kentucky's Attorney General is taking his boss to court over one of his coronavirus measures. Tim Berg has more from the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau.
The Kentucky Attorney General has joined with the religious school to sue Governor Andy Beshear, a Democrat, to block his order that bans in-person instruction at religious schools. Beshear issuing the order last week that directs all public and private elementary, middle, and high schools to cease in-person instruction and transition to remote or virtual instruction beginning on Monday. AG Daniel Cameron, a Republican, says halting in-person instruction at religious schools would violate the First Amendment. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Two more members of the House of Representatives have tested positive for the coronavirus. Wisconsin Republican Congressman Brian Stile and Connecticut Democratic Congressman Joe Courtney are both self-isolating at home after their positive tests. More than 25 members of Congress have tested positive for the virus since the beginning of the pandemic. This is USA Radio News.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and give you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.
Flint water crisis, obviously, many times on this show. It seems like forever ago, doesn't it? If you think of the Flint children who are at this point now 6 to 12 years old and who claim they were poisoned by, lead poisoned by city water, now it's civil lawsuit time. I mean, that's, you know, how the courts turn. You know, I'm from a family of lawyers, so I understand this. And it was first heard in U.S. District Court. You know, they're on track to have their civil lawsuits heard for the first time, rather, in U.S. District Court. And that may happen in the fall, may happen, it looks like, in November. So we have an attorney who represents thousands of Flint residents in state and federal lawsuits. Corey Stern joins us. Corey, thanks for coming on. Where are we at with the kids, like I mentioned, and this possible start for this first hearing, this civil lawsuit?
Thank you so much for having me. So there's roughly 8,000 children in Flint, Michigan, who at the time of the water crisis were under the age of 18. Many of them now may be adults. The youngest ones now are probably, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old. And the federal court judge in Ann Arbor has set the first round of trials for what was supposed to be the end of November, but it just got moved as a result of COVID to the third week in January 2021. And it'll be a trial for somewhere between one child and 14 children. There's been a process over the last year, year and a half to narrow down the first pool of trials. And the judge made it clear that she wanted the most impacted group of people, which is children who were under the age of 6 at the time, who were exposed to lead. She wants the first group of trials to be for those kids. And it's gone from 150 kids, a pool of 150 kids that were randomly selected, to 100, to 50, to 30, to now 14. And the judges indicated that the number that will be tried will be somewhere between 1 and 14, most likely closer to 14 than 1. And the goal of these trials is to sort of get, you know, an idea of what at a trial the issues really are between the defendants and the plaintiffs, and what the values of the cases are, with an eye towards settling.
Yeah, okay, so you look at these kids, and you talked about their ages. Let's go there first. After what happened in Flint, what happened to them, to their health, etc.?
So kids who are lead poisoned, it's you know, it's a little nuanced, but the reality is what kids who are lead poisoned lose is their potential. I mean, the easiest way to describe it is that it creates cognitive deficits in kids, which make it more difficult for them to learn. It makes it far more likely that a lead poisoned kid will be held back in school once or maybe even twice. It makes their attention span significantly decreased. It creates anxiety and anxiousness and also anger issues in kids. And so ultimately what you have is a kid who, before he or she was lead poisoned, had the capability or potential to do X. You know, maybe it's just graduate from high school, or maybe it's go to college, or maybe it's get a master's degree or a doctorate degree. And whatever that potential is, significant diminishment of that potential, such that the kid who may have been able to graduate from high school likely won't. The kid who may have been able to go to college likely won't. The kid that may have been able to get a graduate degree likely won't. And so they will always, for the most part, be able to accomplish less than they otherwise would have. And that's just in one box. And then in the other box is, you know, what's the value of, you know, how do you quantify what it means for a kid who is a year or two older than his classmates, who's growing a mustache before they're even having their voice change, who's taken twice as long on exams to do, you know, twice as poorly as his classmates. And so the effects on kids are, it's not uniform across the board, because kids start out different. Every kid is different, but they're all similar in terms of impacting potential, impacting self-worth, how a kid views his place in the world, how a kid reacts to all of the things about himself that aren't what they should be. And do they act out with their classmates? Do they act out with their siblings? Do they act out with their parents? And so as kids get older, it's easier to see some of the deficits. So if a two-year-old kid is lead poisoned, it's not good. But you probably won't be able to see all of the effects until a kid is 4 or 5 or 7 or 10. Or in some cases, the best way to view it is at the age of 18 or 19 or 20, once they've gotten to a point where they're trying to graduate high school or pass the GED exam.
Wow. So you look at that, and thanks for that setup, because there are so many things that can happen. And then physically down the road, all the other potential damages from lead poisoning, it's easy to read about some of those, certainly. And everybody's case would be individual as to how it affects them and the exposure and whatnot. But what happens in January is really important, right? Because it affects all those other kids or other people who could have a lawsuit with the city over what's happened. So this is really important, what happens in January, right?
It is. And so at this point, almost all of the lawsuits have been filed. But when you have, you know, when the Flint water crisis happened, the estimates of what the population in the city of Flint was are around 100,000 people. And that population has diminished over time. It's been diminishing for decades for various reasons. But of those 100,000 people, somewhere around 20 to 22,000 are probably under the age of 18. And most people who have decided to take legal action already filed lawsuits. Not for kids, but for adults, you have some serious statutes of limitations issues. For kids, they really have until they're 19 years old, because the statute's different for a child. They have to become an adult before it really kicks in. But the reason these trials are so important, they're called bellwether trials. It's a, you know, it's a fancy term that's used in large litigations with thousands of people. And these kids will serve as bellwethers, meaning they're going to be able to sort of be the barometer for all of the other cases that are similar. And so if you have 14 kids and all 14 lose, which will not happen, but if that were to happen, you can have a pretty good feeling about what the likelihood of success is for all of the other kids that are similarly situated. Conversely, if, depending on various factors, one kid gets a verdict of $5 million, and one kid gets a verdict of $100,000, and one kid gets a verdict of $1.75 million, depending on the various factors that went into each of those individual kids' verdicts, you can begin to formulate ways to look at the other cases that prior to a trial, you're just kind of making up. You know, I know what I think a case is worth for child A with these 15 factors, you know, but what I think, not just, you know, in my own life and marriage doesn't matter, but, you know, in the world of the legal world, it doesn't matter either until a jury or a judge says it's so. So, yes, this is a huge moment in time for all the people in Flint because it will, for the first time, value the harm and damage that was done to members of the most vulnerable population.
Yeah, like Hayes said, it certainly illustrates that. And you as the lead attorney, we're speaking with Corey Stern about the Flint water crisis, the lawsuit for the kids that's going to go into federal court in January of 2021. I mean, this in prepping for this kind of a trial, this kind of a situation, this is just, I just picture you just surrounded by thousands of documents and talking to all kinds of people. And what's it like to get ready for something like this?
It's challenging, as you described. You know, to be honest, the crisis, the COVID, you know, the health crisis that we're in has actually made it a little bit easier. I mean, there's, you know, we're all kind of staying in place, and even when we're out and about to any extent, it's not typically like I'm used to flying around the country or flying back and forth to Michigan. You know, and it's not just one person. There's always a team of people that work on trials like this. But yes, you're right. There have been, you know, tens of depositions that have already been taken in this litigation. The depositions are continuing on a weekly basis, so we're still getting, you know, evidence before the trial. We have at least 10 experts that are working their rear ends off during this period of time because experts are needed to prove various types of damages. And but it's also extremely rewarding. I mean, as any lawyer that gets to this point where they're preparing trials for clients of theirs who are really, really hurt, especially when you've been working on a case, you know, we've been involved in these cases since mid-2015, and here we are in mid-2020, and it's hard to believe that it's been 6 years since the crisis started and 5 years since we've been litigating it. But it's fun and it's rewarding, and anybody who goes to law school to become a litigator and you've got lawyers in your family, I mean, it's not as stressful at the moment as it is exciting and also rewarding, and talking to these folks on a daily basis or a weekly basis and preparing them for their trial. You know, you could tell that there's an energy amongst the parents of these kids that, all right, now it's finally time. You know, like we've been through a lot. Our city's been through a lot. They've got a ton of pride in Flint. They've got a ton of pride in Michigan. And they've got a ton of pride in their family. And so it's a responsibility. It's exciting. And as a lawyer, you know, as a dad, you know, I wouldn't want to be doing anything else right now in my life but preparing for these trials.
Yeah, interesting, the pandemic, how you said that, how it's weird. It creates that a little bit of that vacuum of time, a little bit of that opening, and then January is when this happens. So we'll talk to you before then and during it, too, I hope, as well, Corey. But thanks so much for joining us on the show and spending some time with us.
It's been a pleasure, and I so appreciate you covering the story. It's really important, not just for folks in Flint, but all over the country.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks, Corey.
Yep, be well.
This report is sponsored by Bank of America. 9 in 10 homebuyers are motivated to purchase their first home, while 4 in 5 say saving for a home is a priority. According to new homebuyer insights from Bank of America, this motivation is encouraging because homeownership can help families create a legacy and build long-term wealth, making it easier to achieve their life goals. However, many would-be buyers say that expensive home prices, high rent costs, and student loans impact their ability to save. A.J. Barkley, Senior Vice President, Neighborhood Lending at Bank of America.
We understand that becoming a homeowner can be as challenging as it is exciting. While many prospective homebuyers can afford monthly mortgage payments, saving for the upfront costs may make homeownership seem out of reach. We have low down payment mortgages as well as down payment grants and closing cost grants, which are helping eligible homebuyers break down these barriers so they can afford a home of their very own.
To learn more, visit www.bankofamerica.com/homeowner.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the hope for a COVID vaccine on the rise, shifting political landscape, and the election at an end, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411-411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Stop guessing. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance. Text MONEY to 411-411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Text MONEY to 411-411 so you can protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Snow is a member of IBM's X-Force Red Team and is a well-renowned social engineer or ethical hacker. She uses her skills to help people stay protected and informed. Thank goodness for that. And we are thrilled to have her with us because what a perfect time to talk about what is going on with COVID-19 and all the scammers that are out there. And IBM Security and Morning Consult just did a 2020 Consumer and Small Business COVID-19 Awareness Study, and some of it was pretty frightening. I just was reading that the other day. Snow, thanks so much for popping on.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's talk about scammers and who are they targeting and, of course, why?
So since this pandemic has started, it's really impacted everyone, especially consumers and small business owners. They're constantly being bombarded with changing information from stimulus checks to stay-at-home orders, small business loans, and even the promise of vaccines. And because of this, scammers are targeting them by playing off of their fear and confusion. And since COVID-19 was declared a pandemic, IBM X-Force saw a 6,000% increase in COVID-19-related spam.
Wow. That's a lot. So what do they look like? What do the COVID-19-related scams look like? How can we tell?
Yeah, so the scams have really ranged from emails impersonating major banks like American Express and Wells Fargo, all the way to claiming to be the SBA on credit, but to authorize this and to get your money, you have to first verify yourself. So if you click a link, it takes you to a website that looks almost identical to your bank's login. And if you were to give them your username and password and try to log in, the attackers would then have access to the information, and they could log into your bank and do things like empty out your account or do a wire transfer on your behalf.
Oh, that's scary. And I can see, I mean, they're clever at disguising it, so it looks real. You're rushing around, and boom, you go for it, especially when you talk about a stimulus because you want the money.
Absolutely, and attackers are really smart. They're paying attention to current times, and they're adjusting as things change. So it makes it a lot harder.
All right, once again, we're speaking with Snow, and she's an expert at this kind of stuff. So what about phone calls? Because there's text and phone calls, too, correct?
Absolutely. So one of the things to think about with phone calls is attackers can change their caller ID to look like anything they want, such as an IT department or a bank. So that's a tactic that they're really good at using, is calling you from a number that appears to be legitimate and maybe ask you to verify your information or supply some type of account information or banking information. And that's a pretty clever tactic because it looks legitimate.
Yeah, absolutely. So, again, it's about the awareness. And, Snow, you're a member of IBM's X-Force Red Team. Tell us what that's about.
So we are a group of hackers, and I specifically am a social engineer, which is another word for, like, a modern-day con artist. But me and my team, we test networks, people, buildings, and we try to break into them to find any vulnerabilities for our clients before bad guys do. So our job is to think like a criminal, with the end goal of keeping our clients safe.
I love that. So how do you get into that? So you were obviously very good at what you did. You knew how to think of all the angles, and you must brainstorm on them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a very talented team of people, and we all collaborate together. But I actually have an interesting background. My background is special effects makeup, and I'm able to leverage that into some of the work I do. So if we do go on site to a client and are actually trying to break into their facility, we can do things like disguises and things like that. So it's really fun to be able to leverage another skill set I have into what I do.
Boy, no kidding. Well, I've got to ask you this. Consumers, small businesses, what can we do to protect ourselves?
One of the biggest things I like to tell people is to slow down. Right now, because of the pandemic, a lot of people are feeling rushed and, you know, they're really scared, but you just have to slow down. Or if you're on your phone, it's a small screen, so it's really hard to see all of the details. And make sure you question things. If an email or call, you know, look or feel shady, they probably are. And the other thing is to go to the website directly. So let's say you receive an email that might be your bank. Instead of clicking on links or opening attachments, go to their website directly. More times than not, they have this information on the homepage or link to an FAQ page where you can get tons of information. And then the last thing I'd like to suggest is enable multi-factor authentication. This is really just an extra security layer. So instead of logging in with just your username and password, you also have an additional piece of information you have to enter, like a code from a text message. That way, if attackers do have your username and password, they can't log in without that extra code.
Oh, that is so, so good. Well, I think it's so interesting what you do, Snow. And one last thing, where can listeners go for more info on this?
Absolutely. So for more information, listeners can go to ibm.com/COVID-19.
All right, perfect. Snow, keep doing what you're doing. Wow, so intriguing. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, how interesting is that when you think about what she's doing? And Snow mentioned some things, like you look at these alleged emails from the IRS, and 35% of the respondents to that awareness study that I mentioned expect to hear communications from the IRS by mail. And despite all the warnings from the IRS and from various law enforcement agencies and anybody you can think of connected to the security community, the IRS is never going to email you about your tax filing. So just put that in your head, plant that in your head. You're not going to get an email on it. And if you do, it is a scam. They are phishing. They are looking for you. So here's something else pulling out of our conversation. You look at small business owners and this confusion that's kind of all over the place. Only 14% of small business owners feel like they're knowledgeable about the process to get across, to get access, rather, to the government's small business loan relief program. We just had more money put into that, so a second layer of that, right? And despite the guidance that's out there that's offered all over the place, again, going, as Snow said, going directly to the site, I guess it's, she's right, it's the cycle of being so fast to quickly react and do things that we're not paying attention. We're not thinking that it's any kind of clickbait or any of that kind of stuff. And of course, the stimulus checks and COVID-19, it's a disaster for this. Testing is, you know, it's become the perfect clickbait. And on that survey, over half of the people who responded said they would click on links or open attachment in emails, any of the emails they got that pertain to their stimulus check eligibility. And again, it looks so real. So once you click on it, boom, they are in. So somebody who's trying to get you, and that's why this team that they have, the IBM X-Force Red Team, I mean, how clever is that? How smart? Because they're trying to stay ahead of the game to think of what a criminal would do and what is it that they would put out there to try to pull you in, what kind of scam. And because we're in unprecedented times, in uncharted waters especially, but always, I shouldn't say always, but mostly it's connected scams really get life when they're connected to panic and fear, and in particularly when there's something that happens that's devastating to people, and obviously COVID-19 falls into that category with the rampant unemployment and people waiting for stimulus checks, like we said, or waiting to apply for loans, any of that kind of thing. And of course, this is so key. I can't say it enough because I know people that I think are super smart, two people in my world that got sucked into a scam, and it was related to the IRS and their business. And because it was a business thing and they were going through with the IRS what they were doing with the business, they didn't realize that this was phony, and unfortunately it took them down a very, very scary path. So glad that Snow joined us to talk about what they're doing, and as part of that ethical hacking team, the insights that they are out there providing, you know, to protect consumers and small business owners from cyber criminals, you know, while being up on everything that we need to know during the pandemic. Thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Remember, we're all in this together. Mahalo.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs, so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.